time to thrive. Welcome to the Thriveology Podcast with Dr. Lee Bockham. Join us as we explore ways that you can thrive in your life, regardless of what life throws at you. It's your life. Time to live it.
Hey, Thrivers. This is Lee Bockham, and you are at the Thriveology Podcast. I'm a full-time thriveologist, but only a part-time thriver. What that means is that while I have been learning and studying thriving for the last quarter of a century, sometimes I don't succeed so well on my own. And so I am trying always to implement more thriving. And today is probably a good example of those times when you realize that the person who writes a book or does a podcast or does some other way of providing information is often providing that information because they're wanting to learn that themselves. They're wanting to hear it themselves and work on it themselves. Because today we're talking about how you deal with roadblocks in life and how you deal with those life knocks, you know, when life knocks you down. And this is coming to me because of the fact that, you know, that's where I am right now of trying to figure out how do you deal with some of those roadblocks. If you don't know a lot about my story, I'll tell you that part of what brought me into looking at thriving was basically looking at family members and what they did. My mother's family obviously has a propensity towards cancer, and my mother has lost both of her sisters, and both of her parents also died from cancer. But in the midst of that, what I watched was a group of people who were dead set on surviving, not just surviving, but thriving. My grandfather and grandmother were perfect examples of people who faced adversity head on and kept on going. My grandfather's original diagnosis of cancer was terminal. They could do little, and yet he graduated from hospice, I think out of sheer determination and good fortune. And at the same time, my grandmother graduated from hospice after breast cancer, and in both of those cases, you know, they persevered and began to volunteer and do lots more to give back to the community as a way of thriving after a major illness. And so I watched them kind of transform their lives as they went through that difficult time. And I always wondered, you know, what was it that made them turn? Because they could have become bitter. They could have become angry. They could have become resentful and backed out of life. Instead, they more fully engaged in life after that illness. So that was one of those places where I began to wonder, even as a child, what is it that makes you do that? There are very few people who back then would have graduated from hospice, and yet both of my grandparents did and continued to live thriving lives until later on the cancer did get both of them. So then I watched my grandmother, my father's mother, who had not a pessimistic bone in her body her entire life. She always saw the good in difficult times. I remember as a child, we were driving around. They lived right outside of Washington, D.C., and she loved to take us into town and show us the sights of D.C. and the monuments and the zoo and the Smithsonian and all those things when we would visit. And so I remember there was a point when we were driving around and I realized that we were kind of seeing the same sights over again. And I finally ventured and said, "Grandma, are we lost?" And she looked at me and she said, "Oh, honey, yes, we are. Isn't it fun?" And I was always amazed looking back at how she could, no matter what was going on, look for the silver lining in that. And she lived to be very old. She lived into her 90s and very healthy. And was always walking upright. And when she moved to a retirement community, she started multiple book groups and Bible studies and thrived even when she was facing kind of the end times of her life. She continued to thrive. And those are some of those reasons that I began to look for what makes a difference in how people do well and do poorly given circumstances, sometimes the same circumstances. When I was training as a therapist, you know, that was floating in the background. And I always wondered, why is it that some people become resilient and others become broken by those life circumstances? So today I'm getting to live that out. If you don't know some of my story, some number of years back, I started a business that went broke. In fact, left us in debt, significant debt. Along the way, I also suffered a fairly significant illness that left me pretty much disabled for 3 months and fairly disabled for 6 months and could have been fatal. I was fortunate and recovered from it, but those moments taught me to really look at how am I living my life. Now, more recently, in the past 6 months, 2014, my wife would tell you has not been a banner year for us. My father-in-law died fairly unexpectedly, and that was kind of a shock to the system in the middle of us being in a huge snowstorm. So it complicated even being there to celebrate his life. And then my wife became ill and was hospitalized for a while and still is working to get over that. And that's been over 6 weeks now that she's been in the midst of illness. And now we found out 2 weeks ago that our dog has terminal cancer. And so now we're going through that process of dealing with that, which raises the question. And here's where I wanted to say, you know, we all have these moments. It raises the question of what do you do when you do have those roadblocks that are going to come? And so this is in some ways my way of saying, let's talk about this. In some ways, this is my way of saying, I need to remind myself of how to do this. So let's talk some about how you deal with those roadblocks and how you deal with those tough times when life throws you things you don't want. There are some myths that I think haunt us that get twisted in our psyche. And so when bad things happen, we begin to think through these myths of life. And one of them is that life, if you live it right, doesn't have roadblocks. Life shouldn't knock you down. And if you have roadblocks, if you have difficult times in your life, you must be doing something wrong. That's another of those myths. If I have an illness, I have a difficulty, etc., I must be doing something wrong. Now, sometimes people put that in a theological construct that somehow God or the universe or destiny is punishing me for some action. And in reality, this is just life. You know, those myths that we have that this shouldn't happen to us are only because we live in our fairly safe environment where we think that people should always recover from their illnesses rather than living in an existence where life is fragile and life is dangerous at every turn. Some years ago, as I was serving as a chaplain in a hospital, I remember I was called to the ER for a fairly significant accident. In fact, it had been an accident at an intersection, and one person was walking away with a Band-Aid on his forehead, and the other person was dead. And I had both families in the ER. You know, they checked out the person who just had the bump, and of course the family that suffered the loss, they had worked to save him. And so I had them in two separate rooms, and I was going back and forth. And what I noticed was the theological shift. In one room, they were telling me about how God had spared their family member, and in the other, they were asking, why has God done this to me? And I'm aware of the fact that we can often get those tenets of theology twisted up. So here's the reality. Life comes with knocks. Life comes with difficult times. That's just a part of life. And when we expect that not to happen, when it happens, it's as if it shouldn't happen. It's as if something has been violated for us, that the rules of the game have not played out in our favor. And I just want to propose that that's one of the sticking points that makes it difficult to live with those roadblocks. It makes it difficult to live with those tougher times in life is because we've convinced ourselves that should not happen. When it does happen, it's like we're caught off guard. So let's assume that throughout life there are going to be tough times. It could be illness. It could be accident. It could be job loss or financial loss. It could be lots of different pieces. But what we know about life is that life comes up and down. We ride the waves of life. And here's the thing, and I always recall this line when I was talking to a good friend of mine who was a radiologist. He was an interventional radiologist, which is a very specialized field where using the radiology techniques of scanning and other scopes, he was able to manipulate things internally and do lots of fix-its that might have taken invasive surgery before. It was a very impressive thing, used a lot of robotics and high-tech stuff. So, you know, for kind of a geeky guy, for me, that was a very interesting person to talk to. And so about this time, I was talking to him once and I said, hey, I noticed the thing about how they're putting these CAT scans and MRIs in the malls. Well, you know, what do you think about that? Now, my naive thinking was that a radiologist was going to think that was a great idea, that it just made life much more livable for people who maybe found things early on. And for a radiologist, you know, that's what they do. They scan. And so it ought to be right down his alley. And he said, oh, I'm completely opposed to that. I was a little surprised. I said, really, I expected you would be for it. I mean, this gives you business and gives you lots of opportunities. And why would you be opposed to it? And he said, you know, here's the thing. If I do a scan of anybody, any person's body, I'm going to find something. It may be a shadow. It may be a naturally occurring thing that has, there's nothing dangerous there, but I'm going to see something. That's just the nature of the human body. It has faults. It has shadows. It has places that are irregular. And here's the thing. Once we see that, we have to check it out. We have to go in and see what it is. Even if it looks like it might be a shadow, we need to go and make sure it's nothing else. And that takes intervention. And any intervention has a risk. And I said, well, but doesn't it tell you things early? Doesn't it get to the place where you might get in front of something rather than waiting until it gets really bad? And he looked at me, and this is the line that I recall over and over. Life is terminal. As soon as you started living, you were headed towards the end. And when we pretend that that's not the case, that's when we have trouble. When we pretend that we should not have suffered these problems, that's when we get into trouble. Because when the things happen, it creates a reality that's so new to us, so unexpected to us, that we then put it in theological terms. We talk about the universe being against us, or destiny being against us, or what did I do to make God do this to me, rather than this is how life goes. After that accident, one of the family members approached me and said, hey, do you believe in miracles? And I said, you know, what I believe in this case is physics, that physics was at play, that what happened here was a result of physics. And it was a T-bone situation. And so one driver took all the force and the other was spared the force. That's physics. Life happens. And one was on the winning side of physics that day, and the other was on the losing side of physics. And that applies to a lot of life. You know, I believe that bad things happen for lots of different natural reasons, but when we then start blaming the universe, we catch ourselves in a very difficult place, because then it's unfair. And then we have a hard time coping with what's already a difficult time. Which brings the idea of, what do you do then? What do you do when you hit a roadblock? And what do you do when you kind of hit that life knock, that life is knocking you down and you don't know what to do? One of the things I want to bring up in that those pieces of why the universe isn't really after you is because it can help you change your mindset. If you've got a mindset that this is being done to you, that somehow you're at fault, somehow the universe is catching up with you, that somehow this is payback for something, then you're frozen. But if you can say, you know what, these things happen, this is life, and I've got to cope with it, and I've got to learn to deal with it, then you can move to a new thing. So let me just talk through some points to ponder as you're trying to find your footing underneath you, as I'm trying to find my footing underneath me. And let me say clearly that this is not a, oh, get over it, you should feel better. There are times in life when we are going to feel grief, when we're going to feel frustrated, when we're going to feel low energy, when we're going to feel overwhelmed by life events. The question is, what happens next? How can we move beyond that to get to a better place, to get to a point of one of my favorite topics, of growth? And sometimes growth comes through struggle. In fact, I would say that most of the time, growth comes through struggle. And so when we try to stay away from the difficult times, we're also avoiding the growth points. And by the way, we're either going to grow from it or we're going to feel the pressure of it. There's only two responses we have to those difficult times. So let's talk about some points to ponder along the way. The first one is, give yourself a break. Sometimes you will feel ready to give up. Accept that fact. But don't be captured by it. Just accept that that's a moment in time. Now, one of the problems that happens is that sometimes people feel overwhelmed and they lock into that feeling and they say, this is how I'm going to feel from now on, rather than saying, you know what, this is a transitional period. When something comes our way, we're naturally going to feel some difficulties and some overwhelm. And so I've got to give myself a break. I've got to give myself a little space. And maybe it's just some time to mope. You know, sometimes I find myself just needing to say, you know, I'm just going to spend the next hour just kind of feeling sorry for myself. And maybe I'll take a walk and kind of ponder and meditate. And just for this next hour, I'm just going to say, you know what, this really sucks. This is really bad and this is no fun. And then I'm going to get back on and do it again. And so the first thing to ponder is give yourself a break. To think about some ways of just saying, I've got to create a space where it's okay to feel this way right now, without me deciding that I've got to feel this way all the time. Now, the second thing is when we start activating. What do you do now? So you move from that pondering point to activating and ask yourself the question, what is there to learn here? Now, let me be 100% clear. This is not about life teaching you a lesson. It's about you learning a lesson from what comes your way. In other words, it's not about, you know, how life is trying to get you into a place where you're having to learn something. It's taking advantage of what happens to learn something, to grow with what happens. And so things always come our way that we can either treat as a, you know, for no good reason happening, or from life trying to teach me a lesson, or you can say, you know what, I'm going to learn a lesson. I'm going to choose to learn from this. So ask, what is there to learn from this process? Sometimes all we learn from a process is patience. I learned more about business by having a failing and failed business and living up to the debt that I had created in that business and fulfilling that and what that meant for my own sense of ethics and accomplishment than any other piece of business experience I've ever had. It was a painful learning experience, but I walked away feeling like I had basically earned an MBA by the school of hard knocks. The field work was there in the opportunity of a failed business. When I got sick, what I learned was I had not been taking care of my body for years. I had been pretending as if my brain existed somewhere around and this body just kind of carried it around. That my whole life was based on thinking and feeling and not my body. And it taught me that I had to attend to my body. I had to watch what I put into my body and what I did to my body and how I treated my stress levels and how I dealt with sleep and lots of other areas. Those were the lessons to be learned. And sometimes I realize that a lesson to be learned is just patience. Just a reminder that life is fragile and that I have to learn some patience in this. So there's always a lesson to be learned. Not that it's trying to teach you a lesson, but there's always a place to learn. Also, you can work from assuming that change is a part of life, that that's just the way it is, and that change is just change. It's neither positive nor negative. You never know what's going to happen. You never know how it's going to come out in the end, but the changes are just the nature of life. You know, that the song that always comes to my mind is, every day is a winding road. You never know which way it's going to lead and what's right behind that bend. And so when we start pretending that life is about the sameness, that we freeze our life in some way, we're not looking at the realities of the fact that the world goes on. The seasons change. Our kids grow up. We grow older. All of these things happen, whether we notice them or not. So we have to assume that change is just built into life. It's inherent in life. And when something happens, we have to say, okay, we've now hit a new point of change, that something has happened. How can I now reflect on that without putting it in a positive or a negative light, just in a, well, that happened. And that can sometimes move us away from getting stuck in it. It also helps us to maintain our perspective when something happens. At some point, as my business was closing, I had to think, my life is not ending. Yes, I'm going to be paying this off for a while, but in the end, after 5 years, the debt will be gone. And I'll be able to move on. And so instead of saying this is going to do me in, I was able to put it in perspective and say, okay, for 5 years, it's going to be painful. So we keep it in perspective and realize that that it's not going to be as bad as sometimes we fear. The other side of that is sometimes we tend to minimize it. You know, we act as if it's not a big deal. And yet maintaining perspective means we understand when significant things happen. You know, when we are sick, to just minimize there's nothing going on, nothing's changing in my life, sometimes gets us just as stuck as saying, wow, this is the worst thing that could ever happen. When I was sick, I lived by one tenet, which was, let's see what happens. Now, when I was sick, it was early on in the days of the internet, and my family members, my extended family particularly, were happy to tell me about the worst that could happen with the illness I had. You know, they kept saying, don't you understand that you could die from this? And they would name all the ways I could die from it, which was not helpful for me. They were always looking for what kind of the end result possibility was, rather than saying, you know, I've got to deal with what's going on today. And so whenever we start looking down the road, we tend to either minimize it or catastrophize it rather than saying, this is what is. Let's wait and see has become kind of my way of dealing with things. Now, that doesn't mean I always get there. Remember, I'm not a full-time thriver. But when I can get myself back in a good place, I can remind myself that I can maintain perspective by saying, let's just deal with what's going on right now. And so living in that present moment becomes a central piece of how we deal with those tough times as they come to us. Okay, another point to ponder is to make sure that you build your connections and find your support. Sometimes people tend, when they're in struggles, they tend to hunker down and isolate themselves. They pull away at just the point when they need to reach out, whether it's to reach out to somebody just to have a talk with, or maybe they need some help with something. We tend to isolate ourselves, even though we humans are such social creatures. And so when we hit a difficult time, a roadblock, or, you know, life gets you a hard knock, that's when we really need to say, okay, I've got to pull in the troops. I've got to circle the wagons and bring in the people who give me support and bring in the people who can help me out through this, to give me good words of advice and to give me good ways of staying connected in the world, no matter what's coming my way. When my wife was sick, the most touching thing of all of it was seeing how our friends rallied around to help in any way they could. And that was the most touching part of that. Sometimes it's easy to forget how much people can care and love until you hit a difficult time. The next thing is to refuse to be caught by regret or resentment. And now you see some linkage to the couple of podcasts that just came back. Resentment is when we get angry about something, we don't process it, and we don't let it go, and so it just festers. So it's not enough just to have the crisis that's at hand. We also end up feeling that resentment, and that resentment is really about the hurt. And sometimes it's just a feeling of injustice, that life is not fair, that can hurt us. Sometimes it's that maybe someone else did something that leaves us hurt. But either way, we can be left with that sense of resentment for a difficult time that comes our way, or regret. Sometimes it's because we second guess what's already happened. Tim Ferriss says that regret is really retroactive decision-making, as if you can do that. Retroactive decision-making meaning you're trying to go back and redo a decision you've already made or undo a decision you've already made, rather than recognizing that that's already happened. And now the question is, how do you deal with the next step? So now we've already said you don't want to live too far in the future nor too far in the past, and you need to stay with what's going on right now in order to cope with what's going on. In order to deal with what's coming your way, it's enough to deal with what's right now. So be very cautious with the what ifs. And the what ifs can play down the road. What if this happens down the road, or what if we didn't do this? That can be tied to the past. The what if game rarely shows up. The what if can't change what's already happened. The what if can't predict what's coming. And so when we play the what if game, we have to be very cautious. I'm not saying not to play it, because sometimes we want to create some ideas of what we would do if this happened. But we have to be very careful. We humans are always looking for threats. So be cautious for playing the what if. You don't have to avoid it. You don't have to say, I'm only living for the next 10 minutes. I'm only going to look at what's going to happen today. You might have to think, what do we do as the next intervention, and what are our options, and what are our possibilities? The danger is when we get fixated and we keep playing it out over and over of what if down the road or what if in the past. We have more success when we live with what now. What now is going on? How do I deal with what's going on right now? So what now is the better question. Look at the next step, not a long-term future. Roads always have curves we don't see, and different roadblocks along the way are going to crop up. So we're asking, what now? What do we do with this immediate time frame? You just look for the next step, not the next, you know, 3 months or 10 months or 2 years or however long down the road, but what's the next thing we need to do? How do we deal with what's coming right now? That's the important part. Also, refuse to allow yourself to become negative, pessimistic, overly cautious, jaded, and any other piece you want to put in there. Don't allow yourself to be pulled into the negative emotions of that. Continue to live in hope. Continue to live in the possibilities of what this brings your way. What we know is that generally when bad things happen to people, it takes a little bit of time, but they get back to their normal because that's how we're designed. We're designed to bounce. We're designed to be resilient unless we allow ourselves to be pulled into that negativity, the pessimism. And then we start doing things like being overly cautious and jaded down the road. And when that happens, then we're caught by what's happened and we allow that to define us. Whenever we're defined by an injury, we can no longer define ourselves by the victory over that, by how we've moved beyond it, how we have been able to move through it, because we stay in the victim part of that rather than the learning part of that. And then ignore the naysayers. People love the negative. Everybody has a worst case scenario to share. I found this so many times when my business was failing. People would tell me all of how it ruined their life or their friend's life when their business failed. When I was sick, people told me how I might die and how there was nothing that could be done. And all along, we find worst case scenarios. And it's real easy to do. Just open up the internet and do a search. You'll find the worst case scenarios. But ignore the naysayers. You might find some good advice that people say, you know what, I've been through this and this is what helped. The danger is letting our natural propensity for getting caught up in the negative run your life. Don't let everybody give you their worst case scenario. Stay away from how that can poison your thinking and keep you trapped in what can't happen. And the last thing is to remember this thing called adversarial growth. That we humans are built to learn through struggle. That's how everything happens. When we are trying to build muscles in our body, we put adversarial struggle into the mix. I lift weights to put resistance on muscles so they have to work against the struggle in order to get stronger. When you watch children learning to walk, they keep having to fight gravity and they keep having to push against the adversity of those muscles not knowing what to do and their brain wiring, and they keep doing it. Kids don't go from lying on their bellies to running without falling a lot of times while they're crawling, while they're walking, and then while they're running. And that's the nature of any growth in any part of our life. We learn more through struggle than we ever learn through the easy times. The easy times are a great time to recharge and do everything we can to have the resources, but it's in the struggle that we truly learn how to live a life of meaning, of impact, and purpose. That's it for this week. I hope this has been helpful. If it has been, I would love it if you would share this with others. You can leave a review on iTunes if that's easiest for you. If you're listening through iTunes, you can leave a review there. That would be great. It helps with all the rankings. Also, you can send out a tweet that will let people know how to find it. It'll let all the people you have in your own network know about that. And the easiest way of doing that is by sending us a little tweet love, and you can do that by typing in thriveology.com/love. That's thriveology.com/love in your browser. That'll pre-populate a tweet. You can hit send or change it as you wish and hit send and let people know how to get to this. So if they're in a struggle, if they're having difficult times, it might give them a little resource to keep on moving forward. And you can always like us in the area right below. If you're on thriveology.com, you can like us on Facebook and find other ways of just letting people know how they can find more ways of thriving in their life. I wish you the best in your thriving life.
You've been listening to the Thriveology Podcast. Thank you for listening. If you want more information, visit us at thriveology.com or at thriveologymagazine.com. Remember that Thriveology is spelled Thriveology. It's your life. Time to live it.